Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 5th of September, a month with four shows. Or three and a half might be.
Yeah, three and a half.
Show up.
Let's just get it straight. There's going to be a little bit of the entry tonight with me alone because John seemingly was going to Popeyes, and you'll see more about that at the end of the show. But bottom line is, we do have John back tonight. A little bit of a Andrew only for a few minutes in the beginning. Stay with it or fast forward right through my crap, and then we'll have John.
No, back. Andrew's entertained. Don't do that.
All right, let's get it on. Well, we seem to have a little bit of a problem here on DH Unplugged tonight. Nowhere to be found anywhere in the universe is John C. Dvorak. We have Adam Curry looking out for him. I texted him, wrote him, called him on three different numbers. His daughter Jay is on the lookout, and seemingly no John. So what we're going to do is this. We have all these good notes, ideas, things we're going to talk about. And yeah, I may not be as exciting as John C. Dvorak is, never will be. But the fact that let's see what we have here. We're going to send somebody to his house. That's the next thing we're doing here. So we'll see what happens. I'll get an update on that shortly. We're getting some text messages from the area. Anyway, all right, here we go. Let's talk about a warm-up, what's going on. Hopefully you had a good Labor Day and everything was warm and fuzzy. You had a few cocktails. You had some good burgers and dogs and corn and... I had the best potato salad this weekend. It was wonderful. Anyway, okay, what is happening in the world? Well, we have COVID seemingly making the rounds again. Jay Biden tests positive. Jay, of course, being Jill. We have a weight loss phenomenon that's happening that seems to be sweeping the world, not only in the area of United States, but now approval in other areas around the world. And we're seeing that some of the companies that are making this are hitting all-time highs. Pretty cool stuff. UAL, United Airlines, today we saw a full ground stop. I feel like I'm talking to myself somehow. It's a little weird that I don't have John moaning, grunting, saying that's interesting. Huh. We know all his little commentary. Gone private, back to the public life again. We have ARM, ARM Technologies, the chip foundry, the creators of this interesting way of building chips where they really don't have a manufacturing plant. They sell the plants, they design it. And what's interesting about that is it's a company that was public for many, many years and then has gone private. SoftBank bought them. Well, I guess it would be private. SoftBank's publicly traded, but they were absorbed by SoftBank. And now SoftBank is IPOing them in one of the biggest IPOs in tech for a long period of time. We see more bailouts in China over the weekend. China is desperately looking for the opportunity to bail out the various lenders and the real estate developers. And that's a big problem that they're having because, as John and I have talked about over the last number of years, the biggest component of savings in China has been the real estate. People just love it. They go and buy real estate and it's been ever increasing for years. The largest component of their savings, of their investments, is in fact real estate. And as such, what's happened is this problem that they're seeing right now is a big one because when they are in a situation where they see that this long-term investment they've had, which is very illiquid, but it was always thought of as the best place to be invested. Now, all of a sudden, there is a lack of confidence in it. They're all of a sudden saying, you know what, maybe this is not something that we should be doing, and they're backing off big time. Because they think, well, what if they're not successful at reviving this? This is a big part of my retirement, and I'm not going to risk it. And that's a real big problem with this situation that we're seeing now. There's a new word that I've described that I want to talk about. There's something that's called, let's see if I can pronounce it, infadeflation, which is now slowing disinflation, slowing deflation, or however you want to look at it. There's going to be maybe it's a infadisinflation. So we have inflation, We have disinflation. We have deflation. Let's get deflation kind of off the out of the way here. But the inflation that we have is, of course, there, but it's less than it's been. Well, all of a sudden, we're starting to turn the corner, and there's a lot of little things we'll talk about why, in fact, we're seeing that the inflation bug may not be gone forever. In terms of the market, big cost to consumers eventually because insurers are getting hit right across the kisser with Hurricane Idalia. And unfortunately, that's going to be costing pretty much a significant sum of money for many of the insurers, for the private insurance they have out there. Employment reports we saw last Friday. Well, a mix of good and bad, I think. Not really bad, but I would say mixed to good. Not really bad. Nothing was really bad about it. I mean, you want to say that we went from a 3.5 on the unemployment rate up to 3.8? That was like, okay, that's the problem. Well, the reality is that the markets are looking for that kind of situation. You know, they want to see that there is this bad is good. They want to see that the economy is slowing because then they can assert that well, if that's the case, then the Fed's going to lay off. If the Fed's going to lay off, that's going to be really good for us. Because if the Fed lays off, then we're going to see all-time highs again in the stock market because interest rates will start coming down. But rates keep on creeping higher. That's what's been going on right now. So I think that when you see the rates that go down a little bit on some of this news, but the next day pop right back up, like we saw a gap higher today. We saw the high of what, 4.35%, I think it was on the 10-year, maybe 2 weeks ago. And now we're seeing the drop down towards the 4%. 4% now looks like the floor, looks like support, where we're going to see significant support levels at that and very difficult to get below. And the truth of the matter is when it comes to the rates right now, the biggest movers we're seeing is the long bond. And as the long bond moves up, you have to wonder why is that happening? How come we're seeing this? Really, I did a chart today, and I was looking at the yield curve and the inverted yield curve, right, where the short-term rates are higher than the long-term rates. Well, what's really interesting to note about that is that recently the move has been on the long-term side. Well, what does that tell us? That tells us that the bets are that we're going to have higher for longer. And the reason why we say that is that if, in fact, it's going to be a short-term phenomena and the Fed's going to turn tail and start dropping rates over time, the long-term rates are really not going to be affected in that moment. But as the confidence grows that we're going to have a higher rate regime for a longer period of time, well, people are going to put in their bets on the fact that, well, it's going to be a while that this is not going to change. Therefore, let's get our money out there. Or away from there in this case, right? They're going to sell the long bond and rates are going to start moving higher because they believe that it's going to be a long-term slog. They don't believe that they can put their money into the long-term bonds that all of a sudden it's going to break and it's going to be like, oh, hey, good news. The fact of the matter is that we're going to see a situation where the long bond is going to make me money, right? I'm not going to buy it and it's going to go up in price because yields are going to come down. Quick lesson on that, I think it's important to talk about, is that think about a seesaw. There's two sides, right? One goes up, one goes down. One goes up, one goes down. Think about on one side prices of bonds. On the other side, interest rates. When interest rates go up, price goes down. Or you can say when price goes down, interest rates go up. When prices go up, interest rates go down, or whatever you want to say, but it's a seesaw, back and forth, up and down. Well, right now the prices are coming down on the long bond and we're seeing increase in the interest rates due to that. And again, they're doing this because they believe that it's going to be a long time until they can get their money back. And right, they're not going to be instant profitability by all of a sudden the Fed turning tail and moving rates down. And that would be like, oh, that was a great move. Because the longer you go out on the yield curve, it's more of a fulcrum point, right? It gets more and more sensitive to the moves. So I think people are just giving up. There was a time that the idea was not only would inflation be transitory, right? But then it was like, oh, inflation is going to be, we're going to be entrenched. And then from there, what's going to happen is we're going to see the other side of this, where interest rate increases are just transitory. And now people are thinking, well, maybe those are entrenched. So all that's going on right now. All right, we have an update. He's on the way. His phone ringer died. Johnny. All right. Well, we did a bit of fill. Bored the hell out of you. I know that, but did a fill. Maybe some education in there, a little bit, maybe. The employment report. So they came. Oh, John's here. The employment report did come in. Let's see. Do I have everything set for him? Here we go. So the employment report was actually, I would say, again, something in it for everybody. Hey, John.
Equipment failure. Sorry.
Good morning. I had helicopters circling your house.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people we have involved in this search and rescue program right now?
A lot. And I appreciate it.
I was like, oh God, what if something happened? I don't know what to do. So I had feelings. So I just bored the crap out of the audience. We're going to pick up.
Yeah, you know what? You're not boring, so that didn't happen.
We're going to pick up. We're going to talk about, we're just going over the market update right now. Government shutdown clock continues. Oil is still rising, and we have back to school. Some interesting things there. So that's good news.
You know, we were talking about back to school on the No Agenda show.
Can I just say something? Look at how this man snaps into action. Just Johnny on the spot, right? Gets right in there. Doesn't need a warm up or anything. Go ahead.
I don't remember going back to school in August.
When did you go back to school?
Like a week after Labor Day.
We always went a day after Labor Day. It was the Jerry Lewis telethon, back to school. That's what it was. But you had like a week. And then when did you get out of school?
Oh, that's another good question. I think we got out of school. All I know is that we only went to school for 9 months, and there were 3 months where the teachers used to have their vacation. That's one of the perks to being a teacher, was having 3 whole months off.
So wait, you'd have maybe like half of June through September, half of September, something like that.
Yeah. Right. July, August. Yeah. Well, actually, no, it'd be June, July, August. Right. Halfway through June. And then we were gone in June.
Florida was following the New York schedule as well. But then they started doing something calling the college schedule, that where colleges would go back to colleges started in like August. So they wanted to match up to that. And then the problem was that we had protests because a lot of the kids in Florida went to New York camps, which followed the New York calendar. Now all of a sudden summer camps were all screwed up, and God, you can't have that. That would be awful.
Well, when I was at Cal, they had a quarter system, which they implemented because it turns out that if you put students on a quarter system, they have to take more finals, and then they won't protest so much.
Oh.
But if you do the quarter system, that's 3 months times four quarters, and there you still have your three-month vacation for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what happened to change it, because the kids aren't any brighter.
No, I was saying they actually need much more time to learn less information, as I see it.
Well, something's wrong.
And maybe they should put down their goddamn phones and turn off the music and turn off the TV and study a little bit.
That's not going to happen.
No. A big thank you for all who decided it was a good idea to help out and give last show number 666. We're sending you your books for those who graciously donated. I sent you a couple of things in the email there, John, for the excellent book.
Did you see that?
That was last week.
No.
I'll write this note down. Oh, hang on a second. Note to John. I may have to hand deliver the damn thing. All right. All right, the employment report, sir. Revisions to last 2 months were better. Payrolls increased by 187,000. Unemployment rates shot up to 3.8%. And rates came down a bit on that. Although I was mentioning earlier, they shot up. They went to 4.25.
Shot up.
Well, it went back really to 4.25%. They were down to 4.09 or something like that. Don't look at that there. China. Continued problems with the economy. New measures over the past week to help real estate. They're bailing them out. They're just bailing them out. They said they gave Country Garden like an extra period of time. And all of a sudden, at the last minute, they found the money to pay the dollar bonds so they wouldn't go into default. Clearly an injection by the government there. There's no question about that. So U.S. dollar moving up against to let's see if I can say it like they say it in China. They taught me how to say this in China. Yuan. You got to say it with a lot of nasal.
Yuan?
The yuan is yuan.
Yeah, we just call it the yuan.
The yuan. The yuan's easier. Although there's a Korean yuan, too. Oh, and I made a dynamite nacho dish. I made a Korean barbecue pork kimchi loaded nachos. For
barbecue pork and kimchi, I think, is some sort of a natural match because we have a place in San Francisco that is a burrito shop that makes a kimchi burrito.
Mm-mm-mm.
And yep. This kimchi burrito is out of control. It's probably the tastiest thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
And it's made with, probably carnitas, mm-hmm. which is for all practical purposes, a type of pulled pork.
Delicious. I may come out there next time you don't answer myself and get one of those first. oil, even though there's this big concern in China, oil keeps on rising, which is pretty amazing. So oil prices rose on Friday to their highest level in over a half a year and snapped a two-week losing streak, and that was buoyed by the expectation of tightening supplies. And don't you darn know it? They did so today. Saudi Arabia decided to keep the extended voluntary cuts into October, where they're going to cut back by 1 million barrels per day.
Mm.
Crude is up 8% year-to-date, 21% in the last 3 months. And as you know, that doesn't impact the consumer. No, they don't care about that, do they?
They like to jack up the price, but when it comes to bringing it down, it's not so much.
Yeah. So here's the word that I created. We had the schmuckalux last time, right?
Two shows ago.
Yeah, this time is infra-disinflation. Or infra-deflation, which is we have inflation, really, but they're calling it deflation and disinflation, but it's somewhere in between and starting to grow again. When you see commodities like oil moving up so dramatically, and even though the major part of the CPI is shelter, housing, that has been holding on pretty strong. And that will break eventually, but still... And as a matter of fact, today, the home builders got crunched. I got something on that. The home builders were at like all-time highs. Let's see, home builders. And I've been scratching my head. I've been like, I don't get it. And the problem is after a while, you're like, okay, forget it. I'm not dealing with this, right? You're like, I should be shorting the home builders. Why? Well, let's see. You got higher inflation. You got less money to spend. Mortgage rates topping 7%. You have all the things, the ingredients going into what the Fed wants to do, which is to slow down the economy. And one of the big things about the economy is construction, right? That's a big thing. So you're thinking about it. Meanwhile, as you're thinking about it, you're like, ugh, an all-time high for Lennar, an all-time high for D.H. Horton, and Pulte, and Toll, and KB, all these names, right? And then you look at it, and you just say, I can't deal with this. Mom, this is obviously not a spot here. You look 2 weeks later and you're like, oh, maybe that moment that you gave in should have been the moment that you said, okay, I'm doing this, right?
Because yes, that's always the case.
Yep. So despite the high inflation and rising mortgage rates, home builder stocks have been remarkably strong, as we said. Well, prior to today, Toll Brothers had surged 70% this year. Lennar, D.H. Horton, and Pulte have soared about 33, 35%. But today, as the 10-year Treasury bill went up, and I don't know why today and why that, but they were down like 5% each. Now, the same thing happened a few days ago, and this is not the highest point it was. So it was all of a sudden like, oh, today it moved up, so therefore we're going to sell. You know, the gentleman's agreement. Somebody got around.
Yeah, there's something going on. It's probably a newsletter.
It could be. Or it could have been a big call from, let's say, Goldman.
I find there's all these institutional, very targeted newsletters for every sector. And every once in a while, one of them is so influential that it really moves the market. The problem is finding it.
Yeah, I mean, we know that we've seen some of the short sellers like the Hindenburg Report and some of these other names that could really, I mean, they crushed Carl Icahn stock. I mean, like a Captain Crunch under a heel. You know,
yeah.
just gone.
There's your metaphor.
Thank you. Let's see. VinFast. That was that Vietnamese car company that was bigger than Boeing. That was 2 weeks ago again, too. Now down 70% from his peak. And as John would say, still too high.
It's still too high.
I know. supply chain. This is really kind of interesting.
What happened to my short of that?
It went to crap within like a day. You got to put like a 50% on those kind of
sawed.
Yeah, on those, I think we got to put something crazy, like either like 100%.
Well, that's no good. Then the game's invalid. You can't do 100%.
Well, you got to go wider on those. But in real life, you'd go wider on volatility. You would do that. You'd say my stop on this is, so your stop on a company like Apple could be like 5%. But a stop on VinFast has to be like 30 or 40% because it moves that much. The problem is if it came in your way 30 or 40%, you'd probably have gotten out of it. Whereas if you keep the same 40% on, then you'll get whipsawed the other way.
Yeah.
So, all right, this is interesting. Supply chain weather issues are coming up again. The average wait time for non-booked vessels at the Panama Canal jumped between 45 and 59% last month as a prolonged drought. So now you have...
From what to what, though?
So here it is. I'll tell you. So the Panama Canal Authority... Have you done the Panama Canal?
No.
Oh, it's very interesting. They hook up your boat to these big cables that is attached to the little baby locomotive on four corners of the ship. And it drives and keeps the boat centered in the little canal that you're shooting through, the little chute.
Sure.
And then they go up and down these hills, or down if you're going that way, so that as you're going down, they go down with you, but they're going down hills. But they keep it very taut. Anyway, the Panama Canal Authority, and by the way, when you do go through, it's a requirement that you have one of the official Panama Canal Authority captains, I guess, come on your boat.
Like a pilot.
Yeah, pilot, and guide you through. They have to get paid. And a lot of times
they have you hooked up the way you describe, what do you need a guy for at all?
Because someone's got to get paid. And the way they oftentimes will get up is they'll climb like a rope ladder up the side. And then, you know, there'll be a little boat that kind of gets close, and the ladder comes down, and they take a ladder all the way up. And then once you get on the other side, the boat comes back. The guy goes down the ladder, gets on the boat, and they leave. So the Panama Canal Authority.
Check.
Yeah, no kidding. They make a lot of money. They began imposing the restrictions earlier this year in a move to conserve water. Only 32 vessels with a draft of up to 44 feet are now allowed to pass every day. That means how the draft is how deep the boat sits in the water. Now, that was 36 ships and a maximum of 50 feet in normal conditions. So here's the thing. The wait time averaged 8.85 days for southbound transit and 9.5 days for northbound passage in August, from 5.5 and 6.5 days. So it's an extra 2 days wait, 2 to 3 days wait. Can you imagine just sitting out there?
Two or 3 days waiting.
No. 2 or 3 days more. Now it's 8 days.
Oh, it was all. How long was it normally? I'm sorry.
Five and a half to 6.5 days.
Oh, my. Oh,
now it's anywhere from 8.5 to 9 days, a quarter of a month. Now, the funny thing is, people are like, well, why not go the other way, you know, around? No.
Well, besides being dangerous, it's too far. It costs a lot of energy, and I don't think you can make it in that. I think it takes a week.
It's the gas. Yeah, they save a lot of money in gas.
Yeah.
By just hanging out there. ARM. Now, you're familiar with ARM. We were talking about that at the beginning of the show while you were eating the kimchi burrito. this is a company that is a design company, right? Foundry, I guess you call it.
Foundry? No, they're not a foundry. They're an IP company, is what technically they are.
So, but they don't actually make any. They don't manufacture anything.
They design. They design, but specifically in this business is called IP. They develop IP.
So
intellectual property.
So they're designing chips, and they're maybe hired. I think they were hired by Apple to make the M chips, I believe, or the first ones or whatever.
Well,
it was.
The way it's normally done is Apple licenses a design from them, and then Apple puts its own engineers on the chip. This is the way it should be done. I'm not absolutely sure how Apple does it. But generally speaking, you buy the ARM design that you want because it's a general purpose processor, and then you modify it. Customize it to your needs, and then you kind of make it your own, even though you pay a royalty for each chip.
Well, this company did very well. It went private. It was bought by SoftBank, and now SoftBank is spitting it back out in an IPO.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So 9.4% of ARM shares will be freely traded. 9.4%. Company will have a value somewhere about 50-something billion, I believe it is. It was acquired for SoftBank in 2016 for $32 billion.
Yeah, good move.
So SoftBank finally making some money on something.
I don't understand why Intel didn't buy them in the first place.
Well, Intel, we could go through a whole laundry list of mistakes. They're like the modern-day Xerox.
They're screw-ups.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Xerox, wasn't that the company that had the mouse? And they couldn't figure out how to do that.
So they had the mouse. They had the, for all practical purposes, had the Macintosh. They had, you know, with their Alto computers and the Xerox Star, they had everything going on. And then there's a good book for people who want to read about this called, I think it's called Fumbling the Future. I remember who wrote it, but it's about Xerox PARC, P-A-R-C, Palo Alto Research Center. And it outlines all the just an unbelievable number of screw-ups. I visited that place once, and they showed you stuff that is like, wow. You're just constantly going wow over everything.
Didn't they also have the laser printer or something?
The laser printer, invented – the one thing I was always impressed with because it's never shown up anywhere is erasable paper. Where the paper goes through a printer, it looks like a printout, and then you zap it and it erases, it's blank.
Well, there you go, and then you can start again.
I don't know why you'd need to do that because paper's cheap, but it was pretty impressive.
Well, we're going to shoot it up. Novo Nordisk launched its weight loss injection with Wegovy in Britain on Monday. Its second debut in Europe in just over a month, as the drug maker seems likely desirous of expanding throughout the world, and particularly in that region as it struggles to keep up with soaring demand. This is Wegovy, the weight loss drug, the wonder weight loss drug. Now, surging demand for the drug and Novo's highly affected diabetes drug called Ozempic, which...
Same product
under a different name, has sent the company's shares and earnings to record highs. So what I think is fascinating is people get this like, oh, I'll lose weight. They'll give themselves the shot. But oh my God, there's a drug out there for the flu or for COVID. There's no way in hell I'm taking that one.
I wouldn't take any of them personally.
All right,
I wouldn't take this shot. That's for sure.
I understand. But I'm just saying, I think it's kind of funny that they're going to take a drug.
I mean, this is for diabetics.
It's a diabetes A1C inhibitor.
Basically what you're doing is you're saying, well, I'm not a diabetic, But it might as well be one.
Yeah. What the hell? They're thin.
If I have to become a diabetic to lose weight, I'm in.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I know plenty of people have taken it. They're very successful.
Yeah, well.
Insurance companies are just not wanting to pay for it, though. Very expensive. Like $1,000 a month.
Mm.
So now during this recent rise of Novo Nordisk, they briefly unseated LVMH as Europe's most valuable listed company in intraday trading on Friday, ending the luxury group's 2.5-year-long reign at the top. So pretty
does
cool.
Does this tell you anything about Europe?
Everything about Europe right there. That the number one and two companies are all about vanity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all about the what's on the outside, not what's in on the inside, John. Yep.
But there's no industrial company here.
No. And it not only is there no industrial company, the biggest problem, the biggest laggard in Europe is Germany. They're the slowest growing.
Oh, they've shot themselves in the foot on purpose.
On purpose?
Why, the Greens. They let the Greens take over.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they're shutting down their nuclear power, and then they're going all wind, and they're doing all this stuff and jacking up the price of energy, which makes it impossible to become a manufacturer because you can't afford the energy. And it's unbelievable.
Well, with that in mind, you know, this whole big thing about that you just talked about, the green, is all about the ESG movement, right? You know, that we have to have all of the wondrous be nice to the atmosphere and the planet, because that is going to be what is important. We talked about this last week, that people would rather make sure that they believe in invest in causes that are close to their own thing.
Bad investment advice.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, BlackRock. We know who started this whole deal, right? Larry Fink and that gang and BlackRock. And I remember sitting at a seminar with Allianz. They were making a whole new thing. And I'm like, why are you creating this index? Well, we'll sell this to other companies. And I'm like, oh, so it's not about really this. It's about making more money somehow, you know? So the big news is BlackRock and Vanguard drastically scaling back the support of ESG projects like racial equity and reproductive rights. So for better or worse, BlackRock CEO Larry Fink said in June 2023 that he would no longer use the phrase and term ESG. Because it's been weaponized by the far left and the far right. Larry, my friend, I have a little message for you. You're the one that initially weaponized it for use in making money. They created this crap. And then there was a fight on either side about the use of it. The far left hugged it, cuddled it, kissed it, loved it. Nurtured it.
Right. Let's get an adjective correctly. The anti-capitalist.
Yes.
Far left.
Mm-hmm. But they did make it so that it was a capitalist venture, or made it at least seem that way. Now, he went on to say, I do not use the word ESG anymore. And it's not a word, by the way. It's an acronym, I believe. Is it not?
I just think it's just three letters, because it's not really an acronym unless you say it like ESG.
Okay, so yes, it is the initials, the nickname.
Just initial, yeah.
I use the nickname, but he says, I don't use the word ESG anymore because it has been entirely weaponized. I'm a big believer that you have to focus on your stakeholders, but I'm not going to use the word ESG because it has been misused. Now, BlackRock denied attacks that it was succumbing to right-wing pressure and said it was solely based on to advance the financial interests of our clients. So that's the whole point. The whole ESG creation was, let's say that also, solely based to advance the financial interests of our clients. It wasn't about creating a potential investment in a world that was a better place due to environmental, social, and governance.
That's an interesting kind of admission.
Sure. That is the admit. That's it right there.
Yeah.
That's what I've been banging my...
Now, you confessed.
I have seen over the years discussions about, well, ESG is not like a thing to invest in. It is it is something that is good. And I do believe that parts of it are good, actually, for companies and all that. It does make for a better opportunity to for companies. I talked about the governance part of it. Social put out of the side, although there are some social things too. For example, if companies were more awakened to the social implications of what they're doing, maybe Target wouldn't have had that backlash they had, right? So there's something like that. So,
well, I agree with that, but my thinking on Target is still the same.
And yeah, you hate that store. This is.
Well, I don't like the store, but as soon as that CEO is fired,
you're investing.
It's an investment opportunity.
Mm. Well, if you think he's going to be, it's probably a time to get in there soon. But
because you don't know.
Yep.
I think he's going to be, but I can't say within the next 10 years.
Yeah. Let's switch gears to Burning Man since we're out that corner of the country right now. I don't know if anybody of our listeners went. I do know.
I doubt it.
No, I do know that a couple of our listeners went. They invited me to their campground.
Oh, they did. Well, then I'm wrong.
They told me that I'd have to crap in a bucket, though. I said, you know, I draw the line. You know,
I mean, you had to crap in a bucket.
You know, you go to a campsite, they're camping out. You're camping.
Dig a hole.
Okay, so I got to crap in a hole. It's not happening. Just there's certain limitations. I will skin
a fish.
No, they
have porta potties all over the place for crapping.
Okay, you know what? I'm not doing that either.
Okay.
I like to be comfortable, clean.
Well, find some guy a big giant. You know, a big RV,
RV
or big, yeah, big trailer.
That I do. Yeah, that I do.
She got a crapper in it.
Meanwhile, thousands of Burning Man attendees ready to make their exodus leave on Monday as their, quote, countercultural arts festival in the Nevada desert ends in a sea of drying mud instead of parting around a flaming effigy namesake. Well, one way.
I think jumping the shark is the word it is the operative.
But it gets worse. On the way in, there was reports of multi hours, I think of days, waiting on a road. There's like one road in, one road out.
Yeah.
And some people chained themselves.
Yes, this is a big story. We saw a lot of videos of the tribal police ramming their blockade.
It was great.
Arresting them.
It was great. And the woman's like, we're not What'd she say?
We're peaceful environmental protesters.
We're not hurting anybody, really. So anyway, I don't know if anybody's dissuaded from going next year or maybe encouraged by what's going on to this whole thing. You know, these crazy, they're all over the country. I mean, there's the one in Michigan. There's the something trees, electric forest in Michigan. There's Burning Man. There's all these ones going on. I don't know. No, I think I'm too old for these.
They had a lot of since this disaster, they had a lot of people they were interviewing a lot of people. And there, I have to say that the kind of people that are currently going to Burning Man, from the looks of them, I don't want to go to Burning Man. Mm. They look like no offense to the Burning Man people that invited you, but look like a lot of weirdos, if you ask me.
Well, that's whether you look when you're like on mushrooms and all that. That's what happens. Get kind of a little distorted looking. Airline news. United did a full ground stop today. They said, we're experiencing a system-wide technology issue and are holding all aircraft at all their departure airports. Flights that were airborne, go to your destination. 30 minutes later, that was done. So this is ongoing. We've seen this a lot, right?
The reboot.
Yep. Southwest Airlines said that during the Labor Day holiday from Thursday through Monday, the Southwest team operated more than 19,000. They put this out right, by the way, right after this news of United, right? They operated more than 19,000 flights and achieved a flight completion factor of almost 99%. That was great. Some news on pharmacies. You know, you would think in a day when people are aging, taking more medications than ever, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. The pharmacies would be doing okay, you would think. But meanwhile, not so. Walgreens Boots Alliance is on this downhill slope.
Isn't this from the stealing?
Well, it could be, but I think the company's down 2.5%. Was down... Well, now Deere is replacing the company in the S&P 500. I thought I wrote this down. It was down like 45% or something this year. The shares are in their 2000. Oh, no. CVS is down 30% this year. They're down like 45 or 50%, something like that. They're at the lows from 2009.
Have you ever been into the stores of CVS, for example?
Yes.
They're depressing.
They are depressing.
They got no life in them at all. They're organized peculiarly. They have, you know, a funny counter system that's something you'd find in the Middle East in terms of how you go to the counter and how you take stuff there and how you line up. Everything is very un-American. And there's no decoration on the walls. They're not colorful. They're lit with the kind of LEDs and fluorescent lights that are that bright white. It's called daylight instead of being a soft color. They're terrible. I mean, you go in there, you don't want to go in again ever.
Yeah. So
do these people in these businesses have anyone that knows anything about merchandising at all?
Well, they were pharmacies, and then they became high-priced convenience stores, right? I just don't think people are willing to pay those kind of costs. You know, it used to be that you'd go there, you'd grab a couple of things.
Well, even as a pharmacy, a lot of these pharmacies, because I go back into the old days when there were places like we had in the Bay Area that are all bought out. Long's Pharmacy was a good example. So was Payless. And they were lively. They were lively, and they weren't like convenience stores, but they did have makeup, and they had tanning lotion, a lot of shaving cream, a lot of stuff in the aisles for, you know, men's stuff and cologne and things like that. But there was something lively about the stores. They sell watch batteries, and there's a lot of stuff in there that was, and it was easy to find. It was convenient, and it was nice.
I just have a simple question. What's lively about a watch battery? I'm just need to get.
No, I mean, the stores are lively. The watch battery, you know, is a watch battery.
Okay. So, but now they have all sorts of private labeled, terrible food, low end food, very expensive soda cans. They also had, back in the day, it was a place you went to get greeting cards. That was the place. But who needs them anymore now, right? Nobody's really, it's not a big thing. Greeting cards.
That's another issue that I question. I mean, greeting cards were bought because they were relatively inexpensive and they were interesting. You know, people got paid a lot of money to design and write these greeting cards, and now they just, you know, blank.
The last great greeting cards were written by Adam Sandler in the movie. What movie was he the greeting card guy? He was the greeting card king.
I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Adam Sandler greeting cards. Let's see here. Oh, come on. Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Deeds. I just watched the movie, you're totally not invited to my bat mitzvah last night.
No.
Adam Sandler had his whole family in it. It was good.
I'm sure it was. His stuff tends to be quite funny.
You're so not invited to my bat mitzvah. That's what it's called. All right. What else we got? Pharmacies shut. Oh, we got a shutdown. U.S. government will shut down at midnight on September 30th if Congress fails to pass spending legislation. Where have we heard that before?
Hold on a second. I thought they raised the debt limit to infinity.
They did?
So what are we bitching about here? What's the shutdown? How do you do it?
Because they have the money to do so if they agree on the budget, if they agree on the spending. They have to agree on it. There's money available. So they don't have to raise the debt ceiling to pay for whatever they're going to do, but they have to agree on what they're going to do.
Ah, that's it.
So the Freedom Caucus and other Republicans want concessions like zero money for Ukraine, impeachment hearings for Joe Biden, and money for the borders.
Well, impeachment hearings don't cost anything. You can just do that.
But they're not going to vote for passage of any budget without that Marjorie Taylor Greene says, I am not voting for any budget to keep the government going if that doesn't include a initiation of impeachment hearings.
She's one vote. Who cares what she thinks? Well,
but I understand that. But then you have other ones saying that no money for Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, it's a minority. Most of the Republicans are go along with the pro-war Democrats.
Well, I'm just telling you. So now they're talking about, you know, now they got McCarthy is just doesn't know what to do. And McConnell is speechless.
Whoa, you got it in. Yeah, that's not getting by me.
Long way to there, huh?
Wow.
So, yeah. Poor fella.
Took a lot of work.
Yeah. So, no, but seriously, the administration of Biden is trying to get more stimulus out. They got to do other things. They're focusing, like, for example, the new thing is they want to extend mandatory overtime pay to 3.6 million salaried workers, going even further than what happened during the Obama days. The Department of Labor released a proposed rule that would require employers to pay overtime premiums to workers who earn a salary of less than $1,059 per week or $55,000 a year. The current threshold is about $35,000. So what this means is, to get this clear, okay, is that if you earn right now under $35,000 a year as a salary, not hourly, as a salary, you can get overtime. So if you work over 40 hours, you'll get time and a half, whatever that division is. Well, they're thinking about raising it to $55,000. Now, where are these arbitrary numbers coming from and why?
Yeah, why? Do you think the $35,000 a year guy needs to overtime more than the $55,000?
But the thing is that it used to be that you're on a salary. That was that was the game, right? If you're taking salary.
Oh, these are salaries. Okay, right. Okay.
If you're taking salary. You're working.
Yeah, if you take a salary, you're supposed to just, that's
whatever you got to do, you got to do.
Yeah.
Whereas hourly, you work the hours, you punch in, you punch out. You're also
right, and you get all kinds of overtime.
Then you get OT if you stay over the certain threshold. You get time and a half, and maybe on holidays you get double time. Yeah.
Triple time.
Right. You work the overnight, maybe you get triple time, right? So all that. So what my point is, to wrap this up, we have another government shutdown issue looming, and it seems the Republicans are very angered by the way things went, the excessive spending, and the Democrats are like, hey, let's just keep on spending, it's making everybody happy. But there's going to be another, it is kind of nuts that we have to go through this again. We just went through this.
Yeah, and the weird thing is that, okay, they shut it down and all these people get furloughed, these government workers. They only get furloughed. And then when they come back to work, they give them all their back pay for their furlough. It's like free vacations. It seems to me they want to do this if you were working for the government, because it gives you time off and free money.
I never understood it.
It doesn't change anything, really, yeah. Except that it proves that you don't need these people working at all, because half the time doesn't affect the public at large.
But the dysfunction, this is the problem why we were downgraded as a country from our sovereign debt. There's dysfunction and inability to get something, not to get something just done, but get something done, it would be nice, but to get something done that's decent, right? There's a reasonable budget that isn't just recklessly spending. I mean, they just call for another $44 billion in money for Ukraine and like something else. I was like, what? Are you kidding? And don't tell me that there's no grafting going on in Ukraine with all this money that's coming over.
Oh, they had to fire one guy just last week, the Minister of Defense. He was pulling some scam. They put a new guy in. And then, of course, you get fired in Ukraine for graft if you get caught.
Sure.
Oh, you got caught. Oh, no. If you were smarter, you wouldn't have gotten caught. You'd still be have a job. Get out of here.
Yep. Back to school is going to be a record. U.S. spending is predicted to be the highest ever. The National Retail Federation predicts that spending will surpass $135 billion. It's a lot of pencils, man. An increase of more than $24 billion from last year. $24 billion.
It doesn't make any sense. Why?
25%. I don't know. Maybe people, because what you do is you send your three-year-old with a laptop to school. Times are changing, man. And the funny thing about all this is, you go to any of these elementary schools, the teachers are still begging for supplies. Please bring an eraser. Please bring pencils in. If you have any extra markers, if you have any extra whiteboard markers, and it's unbelievable.
Extra whiteboards.
Yeah. Now, meanwhile, with that, credit card taps are tapping out on in many areas. So there's some complaints or grousing coming from the big box retailers and small ones like a Dollar General, the lower end. Macy's talking about how consumers just don't have any more room on their credit cards. And the credit cards that you pay for, you have a Macy's card, trust me when I tell you it's not at a 4% rate of interest. I don't even know what the Macy's credit card rate is. Do you want to even dare look that up? Macy's credit card.
Years ago, the Macy's card, years ago, like when I say that, I mean 30 years ago, it was a reasonable card to use.
I remember
low interest rates.
Do you remember establishing? Did you ever get the pitch from your parents? Would have had to establish credit. What card you would get? The first card you would get.
No, I never got that pitch from my parents.
Oh, I got it. Sears. You got to open a Sears card.
That's interesting.
And you got to pay off the Sears card, and then once you pay it off, you know they're going to get good credit, and then you can get a car. All right, the Macy's credit card has a regular APR. Why don't you guess what's the APR of a Macy's credit card?
I can't find it.
What do you think it is?
It's 24%.
31.99. What is that? How does that work?
Wow.
How does that work?
I found it. Here it is. 31.99. How does that work?
How's that possible?
The benefit of Macy's, obviously.
But I thought there was limitations on
usury laws. Are you kidding me? When those things were thrown out the door.
I thought that you weren't allowed to.
I think it was Clinton that killed those. Ugh. This is that's why loan sharking is not a big thing anymore.
Right, because they all started working for Macy's.
Because the loan sharks don't charge as much and they can't make as much money. It's like you can always get money if you want to pay the high and legally, as opposed to working with a guy who's going to break your legs.
You know what? They shouldn't even call this the interest rate on the credit cards. Why not just call it the VIG? You know what I mean?
Or the gouge.
You know? That's what it is. So ridiculous. It's terrible. Terrible. Shopify gets the Amazon nod. The company said that it struck a deal with Amazon to offer. Did you know that Shopify was a Canadian company? I don't know why.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that until like yesterday. I don't know why I never looked at where they were headquartered. But they got the a big deal with Amazon that they're going to be able to offer the Buy with Prime program. So the company's announced late Wednesday that the U.S.-based Shopify merchants will be able to access Amazon's Buy with Prime service, which allows them to add the Prime logo and other Amazon quick turnaround delivery options on their storefronts. So I'm not exactly sure how this works. So you have you send your stuff, I guess, maybe to Amazon and you use the Shopify app. So now Amazon's getting a piece of delivery and Shopify's getting a piece of the deal.
You know, I have no idea.
Keeps on seemingly getting cut up.
Sounds like a good, a lot of people like Shopify, so it might be handy for certain kinds of vendors of certain kinds of goods.
Yeah, because for years, if you use Shopify and you had like the Amazon, they were hysterical if you would use anything Prime. But now they cut a deal, so everybody's happy. It was like a whole big thing for a while. Hurricane Idalia, $3 to $5 billion in losses.
And by the way, how did you go through that last Hurricane Ida or whatever the hell the name of it was? Idlewild, whatever it was.
Idalia. So there was some wind one day.
Idalia. Is that the one we're talking about?
Yep. There was some wind. I'm trying to remember where I was and what I was
doing. Did it do anything at all to the East Coast? It did?
The only thing that it did was, this may sound weird, it shifted the ocean a little bit. So,
what does that mean?
Well, there's dirty water and clean water in the ocean, and there's a jet stream, the Gulf Stream, right? And the Gulfstream around here, it's only about 5 miles out, usually at the max, and it travels very fast. You know, the tides here are pretty fast. They're ripping pretty good. So that's why when we go sword fishing, we got to use a lot of weight. It's a whole ordeal down here, sword fishing. And what's interesting was I got reports that last week after the storm passed, the clear water was 25 miles out from shore. There was a clear, dirty water, and most fish like clear water, or they like to be in between.
So the clear water was 25 miles away?
And then it was 10 miles this
weekend. So the fishing was no good.
Right. You got to go 10 miles this week. And then if you worked the line where there was a clear watercolor change or change line, you could see it. You could see one side, the other side, because it was like
I've seen pictures of that kind of thing. There was like
plenty of dolphin. Plenty of dolphin.
It's like blue and brown.
Yeah, there's plenty of dolphin there because what they do is they try to hide. The dolphin will hide in some of the waters, wait for the other fish to come in, and then be hiding in the murk, and then scoop in and get the bait.
It's just like a Star Trek movie.
Well, could be.
Those fish are
smart, very smart.
Well, they're sneaky.
Yep. Now, pot news: reefer, herb, leaf. What else do we call it? This week, the Department of Health and Human Services asked the Drug Enforcement Agency, better known as the DEA, to consider easing restrictions on marijuana upon a review of its classification under the Controlled Substance Act. MJ stocks moved on the news. As a matter of fact, I think that today they moved again. MSOS stock. Let's see. It was up big, I thought. Up 18% today. So year to date, let's see. 1 month, it's up 52%. And that started really moving on August 29th. All these names are starting to move. They're the crapper. The last 5 years, they're down 75%. So let me get back to this here. Okay, so since the 70s, marijuana has been listed alongside heroin and LSD as a Schedule I drug. That's been a problem. Well, the DEA will consider moving marijuana down to a Schedule III drug alongside ketamine, I think is a horse tranquilizer, anabolic steroids, and testosterone as a substance that moderates, that has moderate to low potential for physical or psychological dependence. So you got ketamine.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind.
All those things.
Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section.
Game. I know
you can go to dhunplug.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Okay, so something came off. Shocking.
Unbelievable. Kellogg.
When do we get?
After what? How long was it? 2/24/2021. So this stock was on for 2.5 years.
It seems like just yesterday.
No, it doesn't.
No. I mean, even I guess not. I mean,
2.5 years has finally kind of it left us with a 4% profit. Although, probably would have sold it by now anyway, but.
It was good for a little while. Look at Medtronic. That's on there for a long time, too. Also, only up 4%.
Yeah, Medtronic's up there an additional year. It's been on since 2020.
This doesn't go anywhere.
Medtronic is one of those weird stocks. When I was a kid, putting myself through college, using the stock market as leverage. Based on a student loan I had. I had a guy that a broker at a old small brokerage called Meyerson and Company in San Francisco that's long since gone. And he was like he was fabulous. He knew how to do penny stocks. He knew what the cornerstone stocks were. He taught me how to do well in college. And Medtronic was one of those companies that would always float around at 100 times earnings. And during the periods of pre-crash, always shot up into the hundreds. And it's just one of those bellwether stocks.
Yeah.
And so
good company.
It's hanging in there. It's going to do something eventually. Then it's time to get out.
We got some of the shorts, of course, still doing just fine. The one that's not doing well, Netflix is coming back up a little bit, but that's probably because of the writer's strike. It's up 5% today. I mean, we saw a bit of a run on like the stocks that came down the last few days move up today. It's just what it is. Turnaround Tuesday. It's Tuesday. That's what it is. Technology Tuesday, let's call it. Moderna down 6%, even though COVID is back, which is interesting. Stock can't seem to get out of its way right now. NVIDIA short last week. We got two NVIDIA shorts. One is down 2.5%. One is down 5.8%. Wendy's, the insider selling short, is up, which is good to see.
It's short up, meaning it's down.
Right. So still,
not by much. But you know, another one that's got to be looked at for shorting, I think, is Burger King.
What do they trade under, though? That's not Burger King anymore.
I think they are trade, or they're owned by some. Maybe they're owned by someone.
It's owned by Restaurant Brands.
It's no good.
I think they're private. Burger King does not have a ticker symbol stock because it's not publicly traded. Restaurant Brands use the ticker. Oh, QSR. But they own, who else they own? They like, what does QSR own? Let's see. They own Tim Hortons, Wendy's. They own Wendy's. What? Owns and operates through Pioneer. Oh, what?
Well, they probably just own a bunch of franchises.
Yeah. Yeah, Restaurant Brands. Burger King, Popeyes, Firehouse Subs, Tim Hortons.
Well, I don't know about this operation there, because Popeyes is another place I don't like.
You don't like their fried chicken?
I don't like anything about Popeyes. I went to I wanted to have their famous fish witch that they had. It was a famous fish sandwich. And so I went to Berkeley's Popeyes and I go in there and the place stinks.
From fish?
No, from everything. It's just bad oil. So I got out of line and went home. And so then I noticed there's a Popeyes up the street in the other direction. And, let me go in here and try something. And I go in there and I buy the fish sandwich, which they cancel. They don't have it, or they, whatever it was. It's the same thing. It was a shoddy operator. I don't like this place. And I can't see why anybody, it's just not, it's like slipshod, it seems to me. I don't like it.
All right. Well, don't go then.
Well, no, but I'm saying as an investment, I don't like it even.
So do you want to do QSR?
Well, I wasn't thinking about it until you brought this up. So, yeah.
QSR. I don't have a stock. I'm just not finding anything that I'm loving right now. Control C, let's put this over here. Control V. Short Restaurant Brands. It was down $1, 1.9% today. This shows 667 on 9.6. It's going to be there. Any other names?
No, that's the only thing I can think of.
Well, I thank you for joining us tonight.
You're welcome. I'm glad I made it.
We were very worried about you.
Well, it was my fault. I let something remain unattached.
I called like three phones, called Jay, called Adam. Adam was calling
Don't
Jay.
Don't call Adam. He'll freak out.
I called Adam. He's like, what's happening? What's happening? He wanted to know if you ever missed a show before. I'm like, I don't think so. He goes, oh, my God. He's freaking out. He was freaking out.
I didn't miss this show.
I know you didn't. So there you go.
If you want me to, I can record the opening for you, too, and slap it on there.
It's all good. I did a double take, so it's fine. I'll figure something out. They'll like it. You want to record it?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, hang on a second.
to give some people insight into how these podcasts are made.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.